the precursor for 2020 when you get there. I've heard he's been going through the book of Luke with you. That is wonderful. Let's pray and let's see if the Lord can just maybe encourage us and challenge us a little bit this morning. Lord, here we are. We thank you for letting us be here this morning. Lord, it's been a kind of a crazy service, but so much fun and so much enjoyable and so much praising the Lord. We look out here year after year when we come and we see these faces and these kids growing up and champions for Jesus Christ sitting right in front of us here. We praise you for them, that they are faithful. And we pray that you would continue to grow this church, make it into a vibrant living work for you here in this town that will have an impact on individual lives. Thank you for what they've done already. We pray your blessing upon them. Thank you, Lord, for a little bit of food here from your word. And challenge us, encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what a blessing on Wednesday. On Wednesdays, I get to go to a public school and teach Bible to grade 4, 5, and 6s. They still let me in that school. I've been doing it there for just over 20 years. And so this was a different kind of a Wednesday, though. I went there and nobody was there. There was just me, the guitar, the funny songs, the Bibles, but no kids. And as I'm wandering around, because they didn't announce it, when they announced it, kids remember, but they just didn't remember. So it just kind of one of those days. So you know how you kind of pray, sort of, kind of half-hearted prayer, but at least you talk to the Lord about it. So, Lord, if you want some kids to be taught today, I pray you would send some kids. And so it was kind of like, I confessed after. It was kind of like a cheesy prayer that I prayed. So within 3 minutes, there were 10 kids hearing the gospel presented clearly to them in this public school. They all came and they sat down and they influenced their kids with the little Romans Road booklets that they have. And then we talked about the verse, John 3:16. There was a girl there. I hadn't even seen her. She didn't sign no consent forms or whatnot, but I didn't ask and nobody checked up on us. So she was just there. That's all right. So I asked what her name was. I think it was something like Kayla or something like that. And I said, well, look at this. And I had the verse, John 3:16. And I said, let's put your name in here. For God so loved Kayla that he gave his only begotten son, that if Kayla believes in him, she should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we personalized the verse for her and for those kids there. It was pretty neat. And we were having just a good time. And then they left after we treated them and whatnot. And I put all the stuff away in this little special library room. So I had my guitar there and I had that verse. And I thought, wow, what better place to put this verse so no one will steal my guitar. So I put it on top of my guitar. So anyone who walks in that room can't help but see John 3:16. And it's just amazing. And God's love is so amazing. And here we have a day not to represent God's love. It's Valentine's Day. Da, 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 da. Did any of you kids get chocolates and whatever from your mom and dad yet? Or little stuffies or a car? Anything? No? Man. Amazing. Well, there you go. You know, at school, when I know that my daughter teaches grade 2, and she's getting all these little cards ready for her grade 2 students. And I don't know if you, when you guys went to school, where I went, we had these little bags you taped on your desk. And then everyone did give the card thing and put it in everyone's bag. And there was always the one little girl that you hoped, or I hoped, I would get a card from them. What would it say? Would it say, be mine? Would it say, get lost? What would it say? Oh, you just hoped. And of course, it never came. It never did. It's a disappointing day today. It just is. So many hurts to remember. Well, last night, under my pillow, my wife had put a bottle of Pepsi with a heart on it. It took 55 years to get my card, and it came under my pillow. That was awesome. And I'm going to drink that today. What do you know? Beautiful. Oh, flowers and chocolates and stuffies and cards. And well, you know what? It turns sour, doesn't it? I mean, look at the stuff out there. I mean, there's lust and there's cost and there's hurt and there's just pressure and what has it turned into? It just like this kind of love fades away. You know, the world kind of love just fades away. I mean, she gets wrinkles. He gets no hair. He gets something growing underneath his shirt, a little belly going, and his teeth fall out, and he loses his mind. They just get wrinkles. All the bad stuff happens to us for some reason. But you know, the love of God doesn't fade away. The love of God doesn't get wrinkles. It doesn't lose hair and have a belly and drop teeth and lose its mind. Maybe God did lose his mind in such a wonderful way for us. Isn't that something? God's great pursuit of mankind. He loves us so much. Listen to this. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is like unto the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks down, far down, it says in the ESV. He looks far down on the heavens and the earth, and he raises the poor from the dust. And he lifts the needy out of the ash heap to make them sit with princes, the princes of his people. That is an amazing picture. Old King James says he lifts the needy out of the dunghill. You imagine the God of heaven and all his righteousness lifting you out of the ash heap, lifting me. What a love. Way back in Adam and Eve, the pursuit for lost mankind began right after they fell. Genesis 3, verse 9. But the Lord called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" Searching. Oh, he knew where they were. Searching for the lost. Where are you, Adam? What happened, Adam? Our relationship is broken, Adam. Where are you? Through the years, he keeps searching. Where are you, Sarah? And he finds you. That was awesome, Sarah. Where are you, Peter? Where are you, Madison? God calls to the little kids. Where are you, Genevieve? Where are you, Quentin? Where are you, Malachi? I know it's your birthday today. Jesus loves you and he wants you. He searches for you. One day it was Matthew in the Bible, a tax collector, right in the ash heap, a Philippian jailer. At our kids' club 2 weeks ago, five boys and girls prayed to have Christ be Lord of their life. Five. Where are you? Last week, we were at Penhold in their little new church they're trying to build there. And here's a little group of people. And boy, there must be 40% that went to camp and grew up at camp and were discipled and whatnot. And now they're trying to reach Penhold for Christ. Where are you, people of Penhold? Amazing. Well, this is amazing. This is amazing. You know, there was a girl at camp. Coming to camp, it was very clear that Sam was not a Christian, but all of the messages were based around the gospel. So I read the Romans Road booklet, and asked the girls that they wanted to become a Christian, and they could pray the prayer that was at the back of the book to receive Christ. Sam was the only one to pray. And she prayed, and after she did, I asked her if she was 100% sure she was going to heaven. She said she was 3,000% sure. Where are you, Sam? This boy asked to talk after chapel at the tents, and he wanted to be sure where he went after he died. The question was asked him if he was 100% sure he was a Christian. He said he pretended to be saved before. His commitment he made, I believe now, was sincere. Where are you? Then I came to camp, which was so good for me. I was convicted of my sporadic Christianity, my lack of prayer and Bible reading, my shallow, self-serving attitudes. A 15-year-old wrote this. I want to be so godly, people will wonder what is different in my life. I want to genuinely care enough about the unsaved. I will go out of my comfort zone to tell them about Christ. I want to be so close to God that when people think about me, they won't see me, but rather see Jesus and him working through me. A favorite verse of mine, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. But God commends his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is amazing love. Amazing love. And then there's the story of Zacchaeus. Where are you, Zacchaeus? In Luke 19, I think you're there, for those of you who have your Bibles. Let's just kind of ponder our way through it a little bit. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Now, this guy wasn't just a normal tax collector. He was a chief. He was over a bunch of other tax collectors, so he had some money. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small of stature. That's a nice way of saying he was short, the poor little guy. He ran ahead, and he climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. That's amazing that this guy made so much effort. I don't know, some of you men, if you want to try this, put on your wife's nightgown and then go try to climb a tree with it on. I mean, really, how do you climb a tree with the stuff that they wore back then? But here's little Zacchaeus, and he's short. How's he going to do this? But he gets up in that tree anyways. And what I like about it is he made an effort to see Jesus. And, you know, if you think you swallow a little Christian pill and you're going to know Jesus deeply, and you do nothing about the word and prayer and walking with him, forget it. It doesn't work like that. There's an effort involved. Put on your nightgown and get going. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for I must stay at your house today. Zacchaeus, where are you? So he hurried and came down, received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He was gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will restore it fourfold. Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, where are you? What a story. Was he saved? Absolutely. Look at the repentance right throughout that story. That's going to be a great message. I got to come and maybe hear you on that one, Peter. Can hardly wait. It's amazing. And here he is, Zacchaeus. And the Son of Man is seeking the lost, and he's still seeking the lost. He seeks it at Camp Little Red and Camp Silversides and Camp Caroline and Camp Chestermere and camps that have been raised up all across the nation. He seeks it at Red Deer, at Awana Clubs, at Alive, if you're doing... You still doing 55 Alive there, Mr. Dennis? Yeah. He's still seeking. Doesn't matter the age. He seeks them. He seeks them in church today. In church today, if you do not know Jesus Christ personally, put your name there. Where are you? He's looking for you. He wants you to know about his great love, about his death for your sins and the resurrection power over sin. You can receive Jesus Christ and have forgiveness and walk a life with him. He doesn't take all your problems away, but he walks with you through those things. He has a great thing in store for you. It's amazing. He loves you no matter what ash heap you're from. You know, the former director at camp, they had this little thing, him and his wife, and if they loved each other and if things were going pretty good, Cap would hide a green Smartie somewhere so his wife can find it. So you can imagine she goes to get a fork, and on top of the forks, green Smartie. And right away, you go, he loves me, that man of mine. And then sometimes, they got pretty hot in their relationship because sometimes she would find two Smarties at once, huh? I really love you, that two Smarties. And then one time he told me he did the unthinkable. Where the plates were, he put three green Smarties. And he said that was their symbol that they were just absolutely for each other and loved each other, were going to be faithful till death do them part. Isn't that a great story? That three green Smarties. Well, my God in heaven has infinity green Smarties for each one of us. Each one of us. It's amazing. His love is just absolutely eternal and fresh and new every morning. It's beautiful. Paul Harvey, he used to tell a story, and there's this married couple, and they just loved each other so much. And every once in a while, there'd be letters around the house that some people would see. And it was the letters C-H-M-I-L-Y, Chimley. And so she would go and she'd be maybe baking a cake. And in the flour were those letters, chimney. And then in the mirror after the shower, guess what? On the mirror, chimney. And this would go on throughout their whole life right to the end. And then when one of them passed away, went to the coffin and put the letters on them, chimney. And chimney stood for, "See how much I love you." Isn't that amazing? What a love story. I'm going to change that a bit to chimjali. Chimjali. See how much Jesus loves you. Each one of you wear those letters that are Christians. Each one of you are that to other people so that they can see how much Jesus loves them. He shows it to us in his word, in his creation, with his son, and through his people. Look at that Don Collier. You see that on his forehead sometimes? Wow! I am loved by Jesus, and I could just tell by looking at Mr. Collier, just such a man of God. Thank you, Don, for being you. Chimley. Chimley. Let's pray. Lord, your word says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Indeed, you love us so much. Thank you that your love is not that cheap stuff that doesn't last, has no backing or no base. We thank you that it comes right from the heart of God. And Lord, I pray for these people. Lord, it looks like they've plateaued and they've got some things happening here, but oh God, that they would continue to be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this community, that people would see how much Jesus loves them because they love you and they serve you and they love each other. So, Lord God, help the pastors and the leadership of this church to guide it and with skill and with your hands through their hands. And may the hand of God be upon them. And, well, Lord, we pray also that you would take care of the camp. You see it needs a little shot of cash again this month, or it's going to be a little tight again. But, Lord, you got it all in control. We pray that you bring boys and girls to know and love Jesus. So thank you for this time. We love you. We adore you. In Jesus' name, amen.
If I can just say for a moment before we wind up here, just want to say thank you to Gord and to the others who had the opportunity to share. First of all, let's give them a hand and thank them for